Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
Singer-songwriter Greg Seaver is my guest today. He's an author and speaker as well, and he and his wife Cindy founded Unwanted Harvest. Let's meet him, find out about his new book, Unwanted, Dead or Alive. Greg, welcome to Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich.
Thank you, Judy. Thanks for having me today.
Your ministry is called Unwanted Harvest, an interesting name. Why did you name your ministry that?
The second song that I ever wrote, Judy, is entitled Unwanted, and it really is talking about an outcast man like where I was in my past and meeting the same identification that Jesus was rejected and unwanted as well. And so that kind of gave me the premise to move towards naming this ministry Unwanted Harvest, along with a parable that talks about, you know, people being invited to the banquet, the master's banquet, and nobody's coming. And he tells his servant to go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And these would be people with anomalies, the blind, the deaf, the lame, etc. And so really our hearts, my wife and I both came out of a homosexual background, and our hearts are to go out not just to this community, but also anyone who's ever felt unwanted or rejected.
And there's a lot of people who have felt unwanted and rejected, isn't there?
Definitely.
So as you look at your ministry, Unwanted Harvest, what is it all about, and what are your goals in your ministry that maybe some people that feel like they're outcasts can grab onto for hope?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the first piece would obviously read my story. It's a roller coaster ride of ups and downs with my sexuality, my faith in God, and the conflict that meets there. And then, you know, we've comprised, I've done one album, just finishing up on a second album. So the music also partners with the book, and I'm in the process of writing a second book. But we have a website called unwantedharvest.com. And on that website, my wife and I have done some podcasts dealing with identity, et cetera. And then we've also had guests on there who've told their stories from drug and alcohol abuse. We even had an Amish couple come on, former Amish couple and so forth, and dealing with the shunning that they went through. Mm-hmm. So it's not just to the LGBTQ community. Obviously, that's where our hearts go first because we came out of that community, but also anyone who's ever felt this way.
Why don't you share about your story, and maybe others can identify with your story, and they're at a place today where they want to find new direction in their life.
Sure. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and by the age of 19, I found this pamphlet and went to the boss where I was working at, and she went to her pastor, gave me a book on the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the midst of that book, I understood my need for salvation. I'd had an encounter with both a woman and a man prior to becoming born again. And so the conflict began to arise there over the course of time. By the age of 24, I'm married with two children, pastoring a church for 1 year, and I fell into homosexual activity.
Wow.
And from there, it's a roller coaster ride. I eventually get divorced, et cetera. And obviously, you know, I'm just kind of jumping through the book. But at the end, you know, the Holy Spirit gives me revelation, understanding, insight of what his theology is, what his truth is, and that's where I got to the place of being empowered by the Holy Spirit to go a different direction in my life. And I think anyone, you know, we're all born with what I say, Judy, is the same disease, the flesh or the sin nature. Mm-hmm. That nature manifests itself in a variety of ways. Mine happened to be homosexuality. Yours might be another area of vulnerability, but those symptoms don't make us have a disease any worse than someone else who has a symptom that, you know, the church or the world may look at as less stigmatized. We all have the same disease. We all have the same need for salvation. And that's where I think this ministry is trying to reach out to those people who felt unwanted, rejected, stigmatized because of whatever manifestation of sin that they've had in their lives.
Now, you were a pastor married and had two children. What led you to get into a life of homosexuality?
Yeah, I got to this place where it was just like a compulsion. You know, I'm sure it was, you know, somewhat demonically influenced, but, you know, once you cross that line, it's like being hooked. You get into bondage, compulsion, et cetera. So I began to believe that the only way I was ever going to be happy was to give into those desires and to get into a relationship with a man. And it's, like I said, very difficult path that I walked. And God graciously and mercifully kept his hand on me in spite of where I was. So I think that relationship was sustained on and off. So when the timing came right for him to get in my face about this sin, he did.
Maybe there are some people here today that think the Bible makes it okay to live that lifestyle. First of all, what scripture led you to believe it was okay?
Well, there wasn't a scripture that led me to believe that homosexuality was okay. I believed that, you know, one popular belief is, you know, we're all sinners. We're all going to be sinning some way, shape, or form. And God understands that. And he doesn't. I didn't understand the fullness of grace. Yes, Jesus's blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, but then the Holy Spirit, you know, enters us in that covenantal relationship, and he empowers us to go a different direction. I got the revelation of understanding that Jesus had emptied himself of his own deity in Philippians chapter 2. And so Jesus relied solely on the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. So if he had to do it, how much more do we all need to do the same thing? I just felt like I had to do this in my own strength, and I kept falling time and time again. But as far as scriptures, Judy, there's several. You know, there's obviously the Levitical laws and Leviticus, but Paul does, I think, an outstanding job in Romans 1 that, you know, he says that they believed a lie, actually exchanged a lie for the truth, and began to worship the creature more than the creator. And I think that's what happens oftentimes in homosexuality is it becomes very idolatrous. We look at a person, and this could happen on the heterosexual side as well, but oftentimes on the homosexual side, and I believe this, if I could just meet the right man, that would be everything. It would give me happiness and all this other fulfillment, and it fell way short of that belief.
You said, I was living a lie while trying to tell people his truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was, you know, oftentimes in a gay bar on Saturday night and then on Sunday morning at my church preaching. I understood the power of the Holy Spirit, my need to yield myself to him in times of ministry. I just didn't understand that I needed his power every single day of my life. And when that revelation came, you know, to the forefront of my understanding, that's when my life changed.
Maybe there are others who are in that crossroad right now.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them? Maybe they really think that they're telling the truth as a Christian, and it's okay to be in the lifestyle because you love Jesus.
Sure. I think, you know, first and foremost, my desires, my attractions were real. I was obviously feeling these things. But what we need to understand is just because we feel a certain way doesn't mean that's who we really are. So the lies that I was believing at one time, I no longer believe those lies. I'm living the life that God intended for me to live from my mother's womb. He has a purpose and destiny for all of us. He doesn't like the things that we go through. You know, it could be sexual abuse. It could be rejection from your father, like I had, et cetera, that sets us up where we don't fully develop into the man or woman that God intends for us to do. And by the time we hit puberty, then we begin to sexualize these feelings because we were never fully developed into who God intended for us to be developed into. If someone's a Christian like I was, they need to understand the fullness of where the Bible says that Jesus is going to save us from our sins. He just doesn't forgive us. He empowers us to go a different direction. So they would simply need to, you know, be open and honest about their feelings with God. They can do that and ask him to empower them by faith to go a different direction. Romans 8:3 says to kill the deeds of the body by the Spirit. So we do that by faith. We become Christians by faith. The just shall live by faith. So every single day that we walk on this earth, We do it by faith, including by faith, empower ourselves over the temptations that come our way through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And that's really any temptation. That scripture goes for any temptation, doesn't it?
It sure does.
So how did your sense of rejection impact your choices in your life?
Well, I felt like, you know, my father had rejected me. I believed many people, if they knew the truth about my homosexuality, would also reject me. So I began to wear a mask. I began to try to act a certain way so that wouldn't continue to happen. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I was always insecure. Even if I appeared secure and confident, I wasn't. I had this internal battle going on constantly that I wasn't enough. I couldn't measure up. I would never be the man, unfortunately, that I knew God wanted me to be, and my family oftentimes wanted me to be. I just, you know, I believe I was falling short of that goal every day, and it was a very difficult place to be in.
To what extent do fathers influence the emotional development of their sons? So many fathers are out of the home these days, and why is that important, and do you think that less young men would fall into the lifestyle if their fathers had taken more interest in them?
Right. I think, you know, if we first of all just look at how Jesus' father was towards him, he affirmed him, he thundered from heaven, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," before Jesus ever did anything. I think, you know, but it's one of the Old Testament books talking about Elijah coming and turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children to the fathers. I think fathers solidify identity in their kids. Jesus said, "I'm only doing everything that I see my father doing, and I'm only saying the words that I hear him saying." So we began to, you know, as boys, identify with our fathers, almost idolize our fathers at times because... But when that rift occurred, like in my life or in others' lives, where, you know, if the father's calling a son sissy or you're acting like a girl, et cetera, you know, certain boys are going to move away from their fathers. And then if you have boys in the neighborhood or at school or whatever also hurling names, then you're not getting your male identity from your father, and you're not getting it from other males. You're outcast. You're separated from the very things that need to solidify your identity. So I think the father's role is crucial. I mean, oftentimes in the olden days, he was the one that named the child. So anyway, I just think it's a really huge deal. I mean, our prisons are overpopulated with many men who have come from fatherless homes. The percentages are off the charts of what a child is without a father and what a child is with a father. It's paramount. It's vitally important for fathers to be engaged and loving and affirming their kids.
Unwanted, dead or alive, my guest, Greg Seaver, is with me. Greg, how can people get a copy of the book? And by the way, folks, we're going to be back to continue this discussion after a break. But how can people get a copy of your book?
They can get it where most books are sold, but if they go to our website, unwantedharvest.com, on that website, it has a link for the book where they can get it along with, you know, some of the music, et cetera, and view these podcasts.
Would you like to hear more? Greg and I'll be right back. I'm Judy Redlich. This is It Kill. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Greg Seaver is my guest. He and his wife have the ministry Unwanted Harvest. Greg wrote the book Unwanted, Dead or Alive. If you've just joined us, I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Greg, your book title is Unwanted, Dead or Alive. Why did you title your book that way?
when Jesus had John write to one of the churches, I believe it's the church at Sardis, he says, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. So I think I was deceived. I was still in my sin, thinking that I was okay with God, and I wasn't. So I had to understand that. It had to be, you know, brought to my attention, and obviously shifted me dramatically.
I got an email the other day about some of the things pastors might be preaching from the pulpit concerning same-sex homosexuality. Jesus had nothing to say about same-sex relationships. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for lack of hospitality to strangers, not for sexual immorality. What do you say about those statements that pastors might be saying, and others that are out there in the community helping people think it's okay to be in the lifestyle?
Well, first of all, even before I was born again, my conscience told me, you know, when I slept with a woman and when I slept with a man, that it was wrong. So I didn't even need God's word to tell me. I just had this internal parameter that had been broken. As far as Jesus not addressing homosexuality, he did address sexuality. You know, a man shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. I mean, that's the standard. So if you've laid the standard, there would no need to be addressed anything beyond that, because anything beyond that wouldn't be a standard. And as far as Sodom and Gomorrah, I do address quite a bit of that in my book, in the latter stages of the book. God did not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for hospitality. I mean, it was anything but that. I mean, Lot's trying to compel all the men of Sodom to leave these two men alone that are under his roof. And he goes on and offers up his virgin daughters, which I think is unconscionable. But yeah. So by making that statement, we can see right out of the gate that it's not a hospitality, it's a sexual issue. I mean, they wanted to rape these men. The book of Jasher records that four of the five cities, the four that were destroyed besides the one that Lot and his family escaped to, all had a judge who said it was okay for them to put a bed in the streets, and if a stranger comes into town, to tie that man down on the bed and sodomize him. So that was a law that was going on in Sodom at the time. And then, you know, in one of the Old Testament prophets, I think it's Ezekiel, but it talks about the pride of Sodom and all the things that were going on in Sodom, you know, full of pride, and they also had immoral acts and stuff, and God judged them and destroyed the city. So it wasn't... God did not rain down fire and brimstone on a city because they were inhospitable.
So you fought this double life for a long time. Maybe others are fighting a double life like you are, and they feel trapped. What tips would you give them?
Well, I think find a godly counselor of some sort, you know, whether that's your pastor or someone that you can trust, obviously, to tell your feelings to, because, you know, in the book of James, it says, confess your faults one to another that you can be healed. So first of all, if we keep it in the dark and we're secretive about it, the enemy has us. But when we bring things out into the light, that's when the enemy loses power over us. So we need someone, you know, obviously to walk alongside us, who can encourage us, pray for us, and allow us to be vulnerable. But the second piece of that is we need to understand that the Word of God is true. So we need to believe God at His Word, and by faith, realize that the Holy Spirit will empower us over these temptations. So, you know, the whole reason why the children of Israel did not enter into the promised land was because of unbelief. And I think that's a lot of why Christians are held in bondage and stuff today, because they don't understand, if they would believe and walk by faith, their whole lives would be transformed from the inside out.
So you kind of led a life of self-deception. At what point did you feel shame for your lifestyle and start really looking for the true truth?
Yeah, you know, when you're caught up in bondage and addictions, you know, shame obviously enters in, and, you know, the perpetual cycle. You know, I tried all of these various things to get free, you know, books, counselors, support groups, etc., and everything kept falling short because I kept coming back around to my sin. And so when I got, like I said, the revelation, understanding that God would meet me in each of my temptations and empower me to go a different direction, that's when everything changed in my life. I got very excited, and it's exciting for all of us who understand that God will meet us right where we're at and will empower us to go a different direction. You know, Jesus says, I've come not to condemn, but to save. So God's not looking for people that he can condemn because they're caught up in homosexuality. He's looking for people who will believe him and trust him. And through that faith and relationship, he's the Spirit of Truth. He'll begin to uncover the lies that you believe that set you up for this lifestyle in the first place.
And the health dangers of the LGBTQ lifestyle, what are some of them? And why don't we hear much about those these days?
Right. Well, obviously, there's still many STDs today. AIDS, obviously, is still, you know, prominent in the forefront. Obviously, they've made great strides through medications and things to help, you know, put them at bay or even get to a place of undetectable. But, you know, there's, you know, the suicide rates, I think, are like twice as high for homosexual men and women. People who transition, the suicide rates are 3.5% more likely to occur after transitioning than before. You know, there's drug and alcohol abuse, all kinds of addictions that couple themselves with this lifestyle. Many of the relationships are codependent, unhealthy. So there's just a variety of things. And then I also heard a report that the life longevity of life for homosexual men and women is like 17 or 18 years shorter than that of heterosexual. Yeah. So a lot of challenges.
But it seems like so many young people are declaring they are gay or transgender in the recent years as opposed to other years. What advice do you give parents whose children might be going into the lifestyle? What can they do?
Well, Cindy and I head up a monthly meeting to support people who have kids or family members who've identified as LGBTQ. And basically, we first of all tell them to love their kids, give their kids room to discuss and express what's going on, you know, ask questions and things, because, you know, the curriculum and the inundation of social media and everything is, you know, happening to these kids. So they need someone to walk alongside them, their parents, love them and encourage them, maybe seek out some godly counsel, some godly wisdom to help them navigate, to go a different direction, to see these lies be uncovered that these kids are believing. But yeah, the CDC sent out a report that one out of four high schoolers today, Judy, are identifying as some form of LGBTQ. So we're in an epidemic. And I think that's why God is raising up ministries like Unwanted Harvest to try to, you know, combat this issue. Isaiah says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. And I think that's what we're starting to see today.
And to think how God's grace brought you out. Greg Seaver is an author, speaker, songwriter. He and his wife, Cindy, founded Unwanted Harvest. And Greg just wrote the book, Unwanted, Dead or Alive. What do you say to youth that are thinking about this lifestyle change?
I would say, you know, definitely pray about it and seek God's help and God's wisdom and guidance, because, like I said earlier in our conversation, once you're hooked, you know. Cindy and I, our goal, hopefully, is to reach many young kids that would hopefully prevent them from going down a destructive pattern and lifestyle that God never intended for them to go down.
We just have a minute or so left. Greg, is there anything else you'd like to share?
I just ask that, you know, with Cindy and I here on the front lines, that many people, hopefully pastors and people who believe in the power of prayer, that would be praying for us, that God would continue opening doors up where we can get the message of his truth, the message of his hope and grace out to all the unwanted, the outcasts that God has destined this book and this ministry to reach.
And the website?
Unwantedharvest.com.
Unwantedharvest.com. God's got answers in his word. If there are some key scriptures, what would those be in closing?
Well, one of them I think that's hopeful is 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, you know, it's talking about where Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. This group of people, including homosexuals, are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified. So that's a very hopeful scripture, not one to condemn us, but one to give us hope and encouragement that God can do the impossible in all of our lives.
UnwantedHarvest.com. Greg, thank you so much for being my guest, and you and your wife, Cindy, for standing up for righteousness, integrity, and honor. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to share this show with others, you can go to botradionetwork.com, go to the St. Louis page, Encounter, and look for Greg Seaver. That show will be on the website. Thanks again for tuning in. Hope you bring a friend next week, too.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.